Okay, so we're on Lamed Hey Amud Beis, 6 lines from the bottom. We mentioned yesterday that that wine, the Mishnah had said wine has a special bracha of its own because it's more important than the grapes that it came from, and therefore the Chachamim established a special bracha for a Bar Pri Hagafen. So we asked, shouldn't the same thing apply to oil? Why is it that if a person drinks oil, he just says Bar Pri Hagafen rather than a special bracha for oil? So we said the reason was because wine has certain advantages over oil. Wine not only is more special than the grapes that it comes from, fine, oils as well, as far as the olive, but also wine makes you feel full. Wine is nutritious and makes you feel full, whereas oil may have nutrition in it, and it's mesameach, whereas oil doesn't have those. It doesn't make a person happy by drinking it, and if it doesn't make a person feel full, so therefore, well, that too, which we're going to talk about that in a second. Hold on. So therefore, so it's not important enough. So it's not important enough to deserve a special bracha of its own. So now we have to deal with the question: what's the scenario anyway that a person would be saying ha'eis on drinking oil? Gufa. So getting back to what we said before, Amar of Yehuda Amashmo, v'chein Amar of Yitzchak Amar of Yechanan, shemen zayis mevorchen ala bo'er pri eitz. They're saying that for olive oil, you say bo'er pri eitz. So the question is: what's the scenario? Heichidon. Do we mean that the person just drinks it neat? The person just takes a cup of olive oil and drinks it? No, what kind of bracha is? Oizuki mazik lay. When a person drinks oil by itself, it harms him. As you said, it gives him heartburn or whatever. You have actually Mephoshim explain that Zuki mazik means he's damaging the oil. And he's not accomplishing anything useful with the oil of what the purpose of oil is. The Tanya, as in fact, we learn in a Braisa, Hashos the Shemin Shal Truma. If a person, a Zor, drinks oil of Truma, now we know that if a Zor eats, or drinks Truma, B'shoigig, then what he has to do is he has to pay back Keren B'choymash. He has to pay back the Koyen, an equivalent amount of produce, the actual amount, plus an extra 25%. But the Braisa says, Hashos the Shemin Shal Truma, if somebody drinks olive oil of Truma, he only pays the keren, not the choymesh, because here it doesn't have the dinim of eating Truma, because it's considered mazik, so therefore he just has the regular din of somebody is mazik Truma. Imagine he had, for example, the Kohen Gadol had fruit of Truma, and somebody was mazik it, he just, let's say, you know, spilled it out or whatever, so then he would be like a regular mazik, he just pays back the actual value of it. So here he just pays back the actual value, because it's not considered eating, because it's not the normal thing to eat, to drink oil. But pasoch shem and truma. On the other hand, if this zor were to take olive oil of truma and smear it on his skin, which is a normal way of using it, then exactly mishalom of the keren, mishalom of the chomish. Then he has to pay the keren v'chomish because that's considered the equivalent of eating. So you see, in other words, that drinking oil is not even considered drinking to the extent that he should be chayev for somebody who eats, like somebody who eats truma. So what do we mean over here that he'd be saying bo'er pri ha'eitz on it? And in fact, by the way, you have machlokes rishonim. So what happens if a person does drink oil by itself? Does he nevertheless at least say shakol on it? Or does he say no bracha at all because he's mazik? You have machlokes rishonim on that. Okay. So anyway, the point is obviously ha'eis, though he's not saying. So what's the scenario? El de'ka'ochel le'ayde tas. So evidently the case must be where he's drinking oil, where he has oil together with bread. So he has the bread as the main thing, and the oil, he's dipping the bread into oil for flavor. The problem is, the problem with that is that then the bread is the main thing, and the oil is the secondary thing. And we learn later on in our paragraph, whenever you have something where you have a main dish, and then you have a secondary thing along with it, you make a bracha on the main thing, and the secondary thing, you yotze with it as well.
But if you eat, let's say, mizonos, and you eat avocado with it.
So when you say, so for example, you smear avocado on your, then you wouldn't make a separate bracha on the avocado, exactly. The same way if you're dipping bread into something, the same way when you're making a sandwich, you don't make a bracha on the filling of the sandwich. But for that matter, I mean, it also applies, doesn't just apply to bread. I mean, bread, fine, is mochi, everything else as well. But let's say, for example, a good example is cereal with milk. Usually, when you put in milk in cereal, you're just using it in order to soften the cereal and make it edible. You don't make a separate bracha on the milk. You make whatever bracha is on the cereal. Various kinds of cereals we'll get into. Actually, cereals are a bit of a complicated area in halacha. There are some of them that are hamotzi, some of them that are mizonis. It's odd. You would never think of cereal as hamotzi, but there are certain kinds of cereal that some of the poskim say are hamotzi. And Some that are Mizonis, some are Adama, some Shakol. But in any case, let's say you have a kind of stew, which is Mizonis, and you put milk with it. You don't make a separate bracha on the milk. Okay, the Moshe wants to say that, fine, if you put in a lot of extra milk, you want to drink the milk as well, fine, then it's not a topple anymore. But anyway, in general, an ikker and a topple, yeah. Okay. So it can't be that that's the case where you're making her eight on olive oil. So maybe another case is where you're drinking oil mixed with a nigroin. What is a nigroin? The Amar Rav Bashmul. A nigroin means maya de silka. A nigroin means juice of beets. So it means, no, actually, to be exact, water in which beets were cooked. So beet soup, basically, borscht or something like that. So that's a nigroin, and you put oil into it. You put oil into it. Antigroin, or oxigroin, really is how it's supposed to be. It's in various other places in Shas. So he wants to tell us, by the way, you should know, there's these two things that are mentioned in a few places in Shas, antigroin and oxigroin. You should know what they are. Antigroin then is beet soup. And oxigroin is maya de kolo shalki, is soup from various other kinds of vegetables. And the point is, in either case, you put an oil in it. So let's say, for example, you're eating some antigroin, vegetable soup, basically. So it's a beet soup or other kind of soup, right? And you put in oil to flavor it, same problem. And can have a nigrin, ikka v'shem, and topple. Same problem. That nigrin, the soup is the main thing. The oil is only in it for flavor or whatever, or for body. What's not? And we just said that. So we're still, where is the scenario where a person is drinking olive oil and making a bracha bar of 3 ha'etz on it? Okay. So the answer is, hocha mayaskinen v'choshish begroinen. The scenario that we're talking about over here is, let's say a person has a sore throat. So now what he does is, normally when you're having a nigroin beet soup, you usually have beet soup is the main thing, and you pour in a little bit of oil for flavor or whatever. Here it's the other way around. He needs the oil, so then you make a bracha on the soup. Here you make a bracha on the soup, and then the oil goes along with it because of the truffle. As far as, by the way, various kinds of vegetable soups, it's not so simple. Some kinds of vegetable soups are hadama, some are shakol. There's a couple of different factors. There's a couple of major factors in it. One is whether this is a vegetable that's usually eaten raw or cooked. So, for example, you have some kinds of vegetables that can be eaten raw or cooked. Some are carrots. Well, so actually, it's interesting. Alter Rebbe mentions carrots and says that he says shakol on them when they're raw and hadama only when they're cooked. Because in the Alter Rebbe's time, they normally only ate carrots when they're cooked. Nowadays, you eat carrots raw. So Rabbi Marlow has. You have the booklet where on the halachos of various foods that Rabbi Marlow Al Rashalom put out years ago, and he mentions there that Rabbi Zalman Shimon Dvorkin Al Rashalom said that nowadays in America they eat carrots raw. Therefore, that changes, and you make hadama on them. Anyway, the point is. Cooked carrots can also be hadama because it's a normal way. So it's also a normal way.
Peeled carrots.
Peeled, same thing. Peeling them came to ball. Anyway, the point is that different kinds of soups. You have also, first of all, there's the issue whether the thing that the soup is made out of is usually eaten raw or not. And number two, you also have the question, are there pieces of the actual vegetable in the soup? Some kinds of soup, you have some kinds of soup. You have the actual vegetable, pieces of actual vegetable are in there. Potato soup, for example, corn soup, various, whereas you have others like beet soup, for example. You don't usually have pieces of beet in it.
What about chicken soup?
Chicken soup is another matter. Actually, it says in Shulchan Aruch that then when you put meat in it, then the meat is considered the most important ingredient.
So
then it would be shakol, unless, again, you also have pieces of vegetable in it, which is another matter. Anyway, the point is, like I said at the beginning of the parak, how complicated stuff. Okay, anyway. So again, normally a person is having a negro and a person is having this beet soup. He puts in a little bit of oil for flavor. Here we're talking about that a person has a sore throat. So he needs to drink oil that will soothe his throat. Therefore, he puts in much more oil than usual into the negro. Therefore, it comes out he's mainly drinking the anigroin for the sake of the oil. He can't drink the oil neat because it's bad for him. Like we said, it'll give him heartburn or whatever. So therefore, he mixes it with anigroin. So that's what we're saying. So one second. The Tanya, as we have a similar example as far as Hilchos Shabbos. Hachoshish begroin. If a person has a sore throat, now you have a din in Hilchos Shabbos that a person, when it comes to a person has a minor ache or pain or whatever, then they're not allowed to take medicine for it on Shabbos. The Chachamim are concerned that if a person takes medicine on Shabbos, then he may come to grind up ingredients for medicine, as of course they had to do in those days. So therefore, the Chachamim said, so it's one thing if the person is feeling, they have different degrees of it, in halacha, if the person is feeling sick enough that he needs to take the bed or whatever, then he's allowed to take medicine. But when a person just has like a minor headache or sore throat or what have you, then he's not allowed to take medicine for it on Shabbos. However, there is a din in this regard that if a person is eating or drinking something which is normally also eaten and drunk by healthy people, not for the sake of medicinal purposes, and in this particular case, the person is using it for medicinal purposes, they're allowed to do that on Shabbos.
But since the grinding doesn't happen today...
That doesn't matter. Once the Chachamim made a gzeira, then in general it stays even nowadays. In
the aspirin?
So then if you have a minor headache, then no, you can't. If the headache's serious enough to keep the person in bed or whatever, then yeah, there's detailed dinim about it in Shabbos. The Gemara talks about it in Shabbos. Beis Hashem will get to it in due time, but yeah. Anyway, the point is, let's say, for example, so to give you an example of aspirin, let's say, I mean, you have some people that have a daily practice of taking aspirin, that's one thing, then it becomes part of their food, maybe, but let's say, for example, you have certain kinds of things, let's say in our example, with oil, where a person, with drinking oil by itself is not something people healthy people normally do, but drinking oil mixed with a nigroin is something that normal people do, healthy people do. So therefore, so Braita says,
and oil.
So if a person has a sore throat, he's not allowed to gargle oil on Shabbos, because that would be that he's clearly doing it for medicinal purposes. But he can put a lot of oil into his anigroin, which he's eating anyway, a soup for Shabbos, or baylaya, and then he can swallow it. So that's the scenario that we're talking about over here then, where a person needs, the main thing he needs is the oil. He's only having it with a nigroin because, for example, it's Shabbos, and he can't just gargle the oil by itself because he's not allowed to. So therefore, so the main thing is the oil. That would be the case where he's saying very free eats on it. Okay, Tosfos actually explains a little bit differently Rashi had explained that it means he can't gargle the oil, but he can mix it with a nigrin, and then if he gargles that in his throat, then that he's allowed to do. Tosfos learns a little differently that it would mean that he's not allowed to swallow down the oil by itself, but if he's drinking with a nigrin, then he would be allowed to swallow them together, but not necessarily would he be allowed to gargle it either way. Anyway, the point is, okay, so that's the scenario where a person's saying Baruch Priya Eitan oil. So the question is, in that case, Pshita, well, isn't it obvious? Obviously, then, he's drinking it mainly because he needs the oil, so obviously, he should be saying a proper bracha on oil. The answer is Mauditema, but you would think, given the little four kamachabin, after all, the person is primarily doing it for medicinal purposes, loy liver chalei klal, so you would think maybe he doesn't make a bracha on it at all. Therefore, the chiddush, given the islay hanamine, since he has hana from the taste, he does have hana of eating it, boy baruchi, therefore he has to make a bracha. Which Tosfos says, therefore we learn from that, when it comes to medicines, when it comes to actual medicines, if they have a good taste, then you have to make a bracha on them. So this is why, for example, you have nowadays, you have, let's say, for example, pills or whatnot that a person swallows, you don't make a bracha on them. But pills usually don't. Usually just swallow them and you don't taste them. But let's say, for example, vitamins sometimes do, or for example, children's medicines are usually flavored. So those you would actually make a bracha on, because you, even though it's true, you're mainly taking them for medicinal purposes, but they also have a good taste and you're enjoying the taste.
And the hanah cannot be the medicinal.
Right. The hanah means the actual taste that the person has enjoyed, the taste and the nutrition or whatever that the person has from it. Right. Okay, so that's that. So that's the case where a person will make her eighth on oil. Okay, next. Kimcha dechiti. What happens if a person eats wheat flour? Now, Rashi and a number of the other Rishonim learn exactly, it sounds exactly what it sounds like. A person takes a bag of flour, and takes a spoonful of it and starts eating it. Tosfos says that's not what we're talking about. That wouldn't be something that a person eats normally. Tosfos says that maybe we're talking about a coarsely ground flour, so it still tastes of something from the original wheat, or it could be flour from dried grain, which is sweet.
The wheat and grinds it?
Well, in other words, normal flour is you grind wheat, right? But normal flour is ground so finely that if you were to eat a spoonful of it, you wouldn't taste any of the original wheat. On the other hand, Tosfos says that maybe what we're talking about over here in the Gemara is like where it's only coarse to the ground. So it still tastes, so you can still tell, you can still detect the taste of wheat in it. Or maybe it comes from dried grain, from grain that was dried and toasted in the oven, and then you grind it up, but not plain flour, Tosfos says. Okay, most of the Rishonim disagree with Tosfos and say we are talking about even plain flour. Okay, so a person is eating flour. What's the bracha on it? The flat wheat flour, that is. Rabbi Yehuda am a bar pri hadama, Rabbi Nachman am a shahakol miyabidvare. Okay. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying, you say bar pri hadama, because after all, it did grow from the ground, and it is something from something that grew in the ground. And Rabbi Nachman is saying that you downgraded it and it goes down to shahakol. Flour.
What kind of bracha do you make on flour?
That's what we're asking. That's what we're saying. So omale rovale
rabbi.
No, that's according to Tosfos. That's according to everybody else. I mean, regular flour, like the time you buy a 5-pound bag of flour in the store and you take a spoonful of it and eat it. Okay. Amalei Rava of Nachman. So Rava says to Rav Nachman, Loi tif v'galei de Rav Yehuda. You shouldn't be arguing with Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was saying that you say Bar Pi Adama. You shouldn't be saying that it's only Shakol. De Rav Yechanan ver Ushmo kindly kabo say. Because we see that Rav Yechanan and Shmuel hold like him. The Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, because we just said before that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, we said that olive oil, we say Baruch Yehuda, the point being, Alma, so we see from that, even though it was changed, it's not in its original form of olives anymore, it still keeps its original bracha. Hachinami, so the same thing over here with this flour. Afogab the Ishtani, even though it's changed and it doesn't look anything like the original wheat it came from, the Milsei Koi, it should still retain its original bracha. So it should be Hadama. What do you mean it should be Shakol? So the Gemara says, me, dummy. How do you compare them? Hosam Lesla Yiloy Achrina. When it comes to olive oil, there's no greater thing that it can become. Olives are pressed into oil and that's it. That's the greatest level that olive products attain as far as bracha.
Olive oil.
Is olive oil. When it comes to flour, it's supposed to be turned into something which has a higher bracha. Namely, flour is usually turned into bread, which would be havoti or mezonos, as the case may be. And therefore, so that's different. So you can say that in this case, in other words, so what do you have? In other words, when it comes to olives and olive oil, you only have a one-step process. You go from the olive to the olive oil. So that's it. So therefore, it keeps the same bracha. But here, it's a two-step process. First, it's being ground up into flour. Then it's being made into bread. So you should say, so Rav Nachman is going to say, therefore, that when it only went through the first process, at that point, it's worse off than it was before. Were it just regular, actual wheat kernels, then later on, we're going to learn tomorrow that you do say good bracha. We do learn that if a person is eating actual wheat kernels, he does say hadama on them. But now they're like neither here nor there. They're not in the form of the original kernels that grew from the ground, and they're not in their final form that they're expected to be, namely bread. So therefore, Rav Nachman is going to say, therefore, it's worse off than it was. It's worse off because it was changed. It doesn't look like it did originally, and it hasn't yet reached its final form. So the question is that so? So are you telling me that when something has another stage that it can reach, a higher stage, then you're saying that, and by the way, the higher stage doesn't necessarily have to be higher than what it started with. To give our example before, we were talking about carrots, let's say, according to the Alter Rebbe's original psak, that you say shakol on carrots when they're raw, and you only say hadama on them when they're cooked. So the idea would be, in other words, that it starts out as, in other words, you have a one-step process. And you can have also, you can have something which, let's say, starts out as hadama, then maybe when it's turned into something else, goes down to shakol, and ends up back as hadama.
What about oil? If you have...
So that's what we're saying,
oil. Olive oil versus refined
There's
oil.
No such thing. It doesn't matter. Well, olive oil is olive oil. Either way, you say how you say it. So, again, provided that we said before that you're drinking it as part of a nigger and whatever. But anyway, the point is that, but are you telling me that that's the rule, that as long as something is an intermediate stage with neither, like, the original produce that grew from the ground, nor is it, like, the final form which would have an equal or higher bracha, are you telling me that you would say shakol on it, and that's why I'm not going to say that on flour you say shakol, but omer of zera, omer of masna, omer shmul, akorachaya for raw pumpkins, the kimcha, which normally are cooked, normally you eat them cooked, the kimcha desairi, or on barley flour, mevachin alayu shahakol niyabidvaray, lamdav, you're on membav. We say shakol on them. My lab, now what we're saying that on barley flour you say shakol, implying my lab de chiti bor pri hadama, which seems to imply that wheat flour is on a higher level and you would say hadama on it. So what are you telling me, Rav Nachman, that you say shakol? The answer is no, it's a chiti nami shakol near bedvari. No, as a matter of fact, Shmuel means that you would say shakol on both of them, both wheat flour and barley flour. Okay, so the question is, in that case, why does Shmuel specify barley flour? Let him say wheat flour, or let him say wheat flour, and we'll understand. If even wheat flour, you say shakol on it, how much more so barley flour you say shakol, because barley flour is less important than wheat. Barley is normally eaten by animals, right? So even if you make, so it's one thing, fine, you have raw barley, fine, you'd say hadama on it, it does grow from the ground. Barley bread, sure, you'd say hamotzi on it, or barley cake or whatever, you'd say mezonos on, fine, because at least it's made into some kind of human food. But you could, once we say that, if you're going to tell me that flour goes down a level because it's gone down from, it's not the original product of the ground because now it's been transformed, and now you're saying that, okay, and you're saying that while it's in that intermediate state, it's going to be shakol, then once we say that about wheat flour, of course the same thing would apply to barley flour. Why is Shmuel specifying barley flour? That seems to imply that barley flour is like that, it's shakol, but wheat flour is not. Wheat flour is more important and would be hadama, like Rabbi Yehuda is saying. The answer is no.
Can they be both?
Maybe it could be both. You could say wheat is more important than barley. So wheat flour would be hadama, like Rabbi Yehuda is saying, and barley flour would be shakol. But I'm not going to say both of them are shakol. So that's the question. Why, if you're going to tell me that Shmuel holds both of them are shakol, then why is he saying that only about barley flour? Let him say wheat flour, and we'll understand that it applies to both. The answer is, just the opposite, though. If Shmuel had mentioned wheat flour, habamina, then you would have thought, hanimila dechiti. You would say wheat flour at least is important enough to say shakol on it. Aval desayri lo livrich alei klal. But you would think maybe barley flour is even less than wheat flour, and you don't make a bracha on it at all. Kamash malon, and that is what. Then therefore, Shmuel had to specify barley, but were meant to understand that the same din applies to wheat as well. So the question is, why would we think you wouldn't make a bracha on barley flour? Umi gara melach v'zomis. Would barley flour be any less of a food than salt or zomis? Zomis actually translates as salt water. There's an explanation from some of the goyim who say that it actually means the foam on top of a liquid. Like you have in a glass of beer, for example, you have foam on the top. Anyway, so Dishnan, Tanya really, it's Braita, ala melach v'ala zomis o mishakol nir b'dvarei. On such things, if a person eats salt by itself or salt water by itself, he says shakol.
Why should he say something else than shakol?
Well, because you would think maybe you don't say bracha on them at all. Maybe they're not considered food. But the point is, if we're saying that even salt and salt water, a person says shakol, how much more so barley flour, which is more nutritious than water and salt? I mean, we said yesterday that water and salt are not even nutritious. At least barley flour has vitamins and minerals in it. So what would be the hadam in it to think that barley flour you wouldn't make a bracha on? That we're saying that Shmuel had to say barley flour, you say shakol. The answer is
shakol for Pesach on salt water.
We don't make a bracha separately on the salt water over there. We dip the kaifas in it. We say hadam.
Ah, yeah.
We say hadam. We don't make a separate bracha on the salt water. Okay.
So when you have salt water, what do you say?
You say shakol. Yeah. So we're good. So the answer is istrich. Still, we need Shmuel to tell us that you make a bracha on barley flour, which otherwise we wouldn't have known. Because, you would think like this. Melach v'zomis, it's one thing when it comes to salt or salt water. Okay, they're not normal foods and they're not nutritious, but ovid inish, the shari l'kumis, sometimes it happens. The person puts a little salt or a little salt water into his mouth and eats them. Avo kimcha desayri, but when it comes to barley flour, since eating barley flour is bad for a person in that it makes him have worms in his intestines, loy livrich alei klal, you would think maybe it's considered damaging and you shouldn't make a bracha for it at all. Kamash malon, that's what we're saying. Kiven de'isrei hanomine, after all, he does enjoy it. He does enjoy the taste of it. It is nutritious. Boy baruchi, therefore he needs to make a bracha. So now, it's one thing we said before.
Worms
in the intestines. I don't know. I mean, the shiner or two. I don't know if it does necessarily that. But also, when's the last time you saw somebody eating barley flour by itself? But, yeah. Okay, anyway, the point is that So it's one thing we said before as far as olive oil. As soon as a person drinks olive oil, it's bad for him. It gives him heartburn or whatever. Therefore, we don't even consider. So again, we said there's some of the Rishonim would say that if he drinks it by itself, he says shakol. Others say no bracha at all. But over here, definitely with barley flour, you would make shakol. Everybody would agree. Because again, he does enjoy the taste of it. Later on, it's going to have bad effects on him. It's going to cause worms in his stomach. But that's not reason to take away the bracha. So that's what comes later on is not significant. Therefore, in other words, so that's the point. That is, but Shmuel needed to inform us that. If Shmuel didn't tell us that barley flour is charcoal, we wouldn't have known that. We would have thought there's no bracha on it at all. But therefore, we can still say, in other words, that Shmuel was saying barley flour gets charcoal, but we're meant to understand that wheat flour is also charcoal, like Rav Nachman is saying. And that's that. So that's what it is, therefore. So a person eats flour by itself, then he says charcoal. Okay.
What does that mean? There's a lot of foods that have a bad effect, and you still make a bracha right now.
Okay, well, if we didn't have Shmuel's din, we wouldn't have known that particular detail. Now we know. Now we know that we don't care about the effect later on, as long as right now he enjoys the taste and then gets nutrition from it. Okay. Next, kura. What happens?
Something doesn't have a nutrition.
Well, even if it doesn't have nutritious, as long as it has a good taste, then you make a bracha on it. We're going to learn at the end of our parak, we're going to learn that if a person drinks water because he's thirsty, he makes a bracha on it. But if he drinks water, let's say because there's something stuck in his throat, he doesn't make a bracha on it. But water is unique in that regard because it has no taste. Any other, if a person
were... Now there is water that has
taste. Well, then that would be different, I guess. The same way... So then you make charcoal on it in that case. But the point is, in other words, let's say a person is drinking, let's say, orange juice or whatever because he has something stuck in his throat. Doesn't matter. He still makes the bracha, charcoal on it, because even though he's drinking it to wash something down his throat, the fact is it has a taste. It has a flavor.
So
seltzer also would be another example.
What's the difference? Water that has a taste with an artificial taste?
It doesn't matter. Taste is a taste. You know what? Right now is not the point. Right now is not the place for that. Let's go on.
Yeah,
and
briefly.
I mean, if it has a taste, then you make a bracha. Yeah. Next.
And if it doesn't, you don't make a bracha on water?
You don't make a bracha on water. You don't make a bracha on water. If you're drinking it because you're thirsty, then you make a bracha on it because then you're enjoying that you're quenching your thirst. But otherwise, not. Okay. Next. Kura. What if a person wants to eat kura, which means the soft part of a palm tree? So Rashi described that of the branches of a palm tree, what starts growing this year is soft, and then the next year it becomes hard like wood. But Amman explains it a little bit differently. That Amman explains it means what we call nowadays hearts of palm. So if a person is going to eat hearts of palm, what's the bracha on it? Rav Yehuda Amar Bar Pri Hadama, or Shmuel Amar Shahakol Miyabedvarim. Okay. Rav Yehuda Amar Bar Pri Hadama, because Peirahu, Rav Yehuda says, after all, it is considered a fruit, it is a product of the tree. Therefore, okay, you don't say on it Bar Pri Ha'et, because it's not the primary product of the tree. It's not the primary product of the tree. Therefore, you wouldn't say ha'etz on it, but you would say it would be downgraded one level, and therefore it would be hadam.
It comes from a tree, isn't it?
It is. It comes from the palm tree. So therefore, so ha'etz, you're for sure not going to say on it because it's not the primary product of the tree. But it is, after all, a product of a tree. So therefore, if you heard it saying you downgrade it one level, and therefore it becomes hadama. Or Shmuel am a shahakol niyabedvarei, whereas Shmuel says it's shahakol, hoyo b'sofa lahakshos, because eventually it's going to become hard, eventually it's going to become hard and inedible, like the rest of the wood of the tree, and therefore it's not considered important enough now to say hadama on it. You say shahakol. Right now you're eating it, fine, it's something edible, it's something that you enjoy the taste of, so you say shahakol, but no more than that. Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda. So Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, Shinina, sharp one, which is Rav Yehuda's nickname for Shmuel, Shmuel's nickname for Rav Yehuda, Kavasach Mistabra. It seems logical to accept your opinion that it should be Hadama. Dehatznoin, because let's consider by analogy, we have a radish. If you leave a radish growing long enough in the ground, it becomes hard and inedible. And yet, when we eat it before it gets to that point, then we say hadama on it. So the same thing, the kura. Logically, it should be the same thing. Eventually, it's going to become hard, but right now it's not yet, so we should say hadama on it.
We don't really care what it's going to be. We're eating it now.
Fine, but the point is, we look at what it's eventually going to be. A fruit, for example, eventually becomes ripe, and that's the furthest stage that it gets. Where is this? Yeah. However, the Gemara says Velohi. However, that's not a valid comparison. Because the difference is Snoin, when it comes to radishes, not the intria dita de fugla. People plant radishes intending to eat them when they're still soft and edible. Gikla, like not the intria dita de kura. On the other hand, people don't plant the palm tree in order to eat the kura, in order to eat the heart of palm, because it damages the tree. It reduces the number of branches. If you're taking off the baby branch, you're taking off the thing from which the branches grow or whatever, so you're damaging the tree, and it's not going to grow as many branches in the future. As opposed to a radish, where you pick it when it's still soft and you eat it.
You can say one is a tree and one is not.
Well, what's the difference? The point is we're talking about Hadama. A radish is Hadama, and the Kura, according to the Buddha, is also Hadama.
But for different
reasons. The only reason it's Hadama is because it's the primary product of the tree. But nevertheless, we can't downgrade it all the way to Shakol just because it's going to become hard. However, the Gemara is saying that still there's a difference because a radish, people intend to plant it in order to pick it when it's still
edible.
Soft, when it's still edible, whereas nobody plants palm trees in order to eat the kura. However, one second. Today we'll talk about. Let's finish the discussion. So the question is, are you telling me? Right now the Gemara's assumption, it's not that you don't eat the kura because it'll damage the tree. Right now the Gemara's just saying you don't primarily plant a palm tree to eat the kura. You could, but that's not the primary purpose for which people plant palm trees. They plant them to eat the date. This is just a secondary product. So the question is, so are you telling me that you don't say hadama on something which is a product of a tree but not the primary product? Very flat, but consider a flat, which is in English, it's called a caperberry bush. It's a caperberry. They're small kind of berries. They grow wild in Israel. Apparently, in those days, they used to cultivate them also. So a flat bush. The nasi inchi adaita de parcha. People primarily plant the flat for the sake of the berries. Mainly they plant them for the pay. Now, as the Gemara is going to describe soon, you have actually those four different edible things. Here's a picture of flatberries. And you can find them. They sell them in the store jarred. They sell them in the store jarred as caperberries. But you actually have four different kinds of the parts of the plant, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara now, that are edible. But people mainly plant the flat for the sake of the berries. That's the main product of it. Utnan, or we learn actually it's a braisa, so Rotanya, almine nitzpa, on the various kinds of things that you get from a nitzpa. Nitzpa, Rashi says, is another word for the flat plant. So what do you say on the various things? Ala olin, if a person is eating the leaves, which leaves of the flat plant are edible, but ala tmorois, or on the tmorois, Rashi describes that in the leaves, or at the base of the leaves or whatever, there grow these little date-shaped things. They're like baby flowers or whatever that would eventually grow, but they themselves are edible as well. So on those, so you say bird pri hadama. So again, they're not the primary purpose of the plant, but they are edible, so you say hadama. Then for the berries themselves and for the kafritin is like a shell that grows around the berry at a certain stage of its growth, as we're going to talk about later in the Gemara. Those shells are also edible by themselves. So on those, omer berry priyate. So you see that even though the slack plant is planted primarily for the berries, nevertheless, you still say hadama on the leaves and on the tomatoes. According to the logic that we just said, that it depends whether you plant it primarily for that or not, then you should say shakol on them. The answer is Amar of Nachman, slash Nachman.
In other words, the bracha doesn't follow necessarily the intent.
Well, no, on the face of it, that's what we're saying. So on the face of it, as long as it is the product of a tree, but it's not the primary product, then you say hadama. So what are you telling me? You're trying to just draw a distinction between radishes and heart of palm, where you're saying people plant radishes in order to eat the radish themselves, whereas people don't plant palms mainly in order to eat the heart of palm. They do it in order to eat the dates, and the heart of palm is a secondary thing. But you see here, secondary things, and you still say hadam on them. The answer is, Omer of Nachmei, so the difference is like this. Slash not the inchia dice of the shutter. When people plant a slash plant, they do have in mind to eat all these things. They do intend to eat the leaves. They do intend to eat those bumps that are on the leaves, etc. Because those things,
the berries
themselves, obviously, but even the leaves and even the tomatoes, people will pick them from the slash plant because that doesn't damage the plant at all. You can take off leaves and berries and leaves and bumps from the slash plant, and they'll still grow new ones. On the other hand, Zikla, like not to Inshat, not to Dakota. On the other hand, when it comes to the palm tree, they don't plant the palm tree intending to eat the Dakota, because taking away the Dakota actually damages the tree. It reduces the number of branches that the tree is going to grow in the future. Hold that thought a second. So therefore, so there is a difference. So in other words, right now what we're saying is that the logic would be, it depends, is it the primary purpose that you're planting the thing for, or is it a secondary thing? And if it's a secondary thing, is it something that people at least will use as a regular secondary thing because it won't damage the plant versus something like calling a palm where it will? So the Gemara says, "Va'afagav b'kalsei Shmuel l'Rav Yehuda." So in this case, even though Shmuel praised Rav Yehuda and said what Rav Yehuda said is more logical, that you shouldn't say hadam on it, nevertheless, the halacha is like Shmuel, that they are shakol. Now you're mentioning nowadays the heart of palm that we find in the stores are grown from palms that are grown specifically for that purpose. So indeed, contemporary posts can say that you do in fact say hadam. Some of them even want to say that maybe you should say ha'etz on it. That's the accepted halacha, though, is as by most poskim, is that you say hadama, because again, it's not the actual fruit of the tree. It's not the actual fruit of the tree, which you would say ha'etz on. But on the other hand, it's grown for that purpose, and therefore it would be hadama. In a similar vein, by the way, they talk about, for example, pumpkin seeds. On the face of it, you should have the same kind of consideration. The pumpkin itself should be hadama. The seeds, watermelon seeds, another example, should be shakol. But again, the pumpkin seeds and watermelon seeds and whatnot that you buy in the store nowadays, they don't have regular pumpkins that they grow and then they just take out the seeds. They grow special varieties of them that produce more seeds than flesh. So by the same logic, therefore, you say hadama on them. Okay. Next. So now we talked about slash plant. Let's talk about the slash plant in more detail. Slash shall orla b'chutz la'aretz. Now, the slash is considered a tree. So as a tree, it's subject to the regular dinim of orla. You have the first 3 years, you're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to eat its fruit. Now again, orla applies outside Eretz Yisrael as well. However, there's a difference, namely that in Eretz Yisrael, it's a daraisa, and in chutz la'aretz, it's halacha that orla applies, which you actually have an argument in the Gemara in Kedushin, whether halacha here means halacha l'moshe mitzinai or whether it means drabon. But either way, the point is that the dinim of it are more lenient in chutzlaris, as we're going to say in a second. So now what happens as far as a flash plant of orla? Now, we just said that a flax plant, we said again, you have the actual berries themselves, which is the fruit of the flax plant. And then we said you have the kafrisin, you have these husks or shells or whatever that cover the fruit at a certain stage of its growth, which those are edible by themselves. And in fact, by the way, you have, when we say every day in davening, yain kafrisin, that shashodin berries hatziporin, there's an opinion, as Tosfos mentions in Krisis, that yain kafrisin, there's two different opinions what yain kafrisin means. One is it means wine from Cyprus, from the island of Cyprus, and the other it means wine that's made from these kafrisin. They have sugar in them, like most plant products do, and they can be fermented and made into a kind of wine. And yeah. Anyway, so the point is the kafrisin are edible by themselves, but Rav Yehuda is telling us that slap of orla b'chutz la'aretz in chutz la'aretz zordek as aviyonis v'oichal as kafrisin. You have to throw away the aviyonis, which are the actual berries themselves, because those are also as orla, but you're allowed to eat the kafrisin because those are not also. So the question is, lememra da aviyonis peri, the kafrisin la peri. So are you telling me that the aviyonis, the actual berries, are the only thing considered a fruit, and the kafrisin, these shells, are not considered fruit? Or a minu? But I have a contradiction. We just said in the braisa, al minin mitzvah, for the various kinds of things that grow on a flash plant, ala olim vala tmaris oma beretri hadama, you say hadama for the leaves and for the bumps that grow on the leaves. So those are hadama, hold on. No, those are hadama, fine. But about avionis, bala kafrisin, omer berah priyeh. But for the avionis and for the kafrisin, for the actual berries and for the shells of the berries, you say berah priyeh. So you see the shells are considered fruit as well, and you say berah priyeh on them. So what are you telling me? Orla doesn't apply to them? The answer is huda omer kirab akiva. The answer is Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rab, holds like Rabbi Akiva. Ditznan, namely, we learn in a Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, slach mis after tmoris v'avionis v'kafrisin. Rabbi Eliezer says that when you're taking meiser from the produce of a slach plant, you have to take meiser from three out of those four things. The leaves, fine, you don't, because the leaves are more like vegetables. Those only high up in the jaw button, and in this case, maybe not even at all. But the other three things, the tamaros, the bumps that grow on the leaves, and the avionis, the actual berries themselves, and the castricin, the husks of the berries, all those three things you have to take ma'aser from. Because he holds that all of those are considered fruit. Rabbi Akiva in the staff to Elav Yonis Bovad Meshul Pri. Rabbi Akiva says you only have to take Ma'aser from the Avionis because that's only that is considered the fruit. Therefore, Rav is following that and saying that the shells are not considered the fruit and therefore therefore you're not chayiv in oil. So the question is, v'neima halacha k'Rabbi Akiva, why does Rav have to say it in such a roundabout way? Let him just say halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, that only the Avionis are considered the fruit. The answer is E Oma halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. Sure, but if Rav had said the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, then we would think that applies even in Eretz Yisrael, the halach is like it. From Ashmalan, therefore, Rav is telling us no. You have a general rule as far as Orla and as far as all the mitzvahs at Lois Baris. We talked about this yesterday in connection with Neser Rabbi, that whenever you have machloikas in the halachas of a mitzvah at Lois Baris, when that mitzvah applies midrabanan or halacha or Moshe Mitzina or whatever in Chutz Laaretz as well, then whichever opinion is makel in Eretz Yisrael, halacha kamosi b'Chutz Laaretz, then in Chutz Laaretz the halacha is like him. So in this case, the halacha might not be like Rabbi Akiva in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, you might not be able to eat the kafirisin. But because he holds that the kafirisin are not considered fruit, and you don't have to take ma'aser from them in Eretz Yisrael, therefore the result is, as far as Orla, they're not considered fruit in Chutz La'aretz, and therefore you're allowed to eat them in Chutz La'aretz, which is what Rav is saying, because he's the one maker. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, but in Eretz Yisrael not. So therefore, Rav can't just say that halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Okay, the question is, v'neim ha-halacha k'rabakiv b'chutz la'aretz, b'chol ha-meko b'aretz halacha k'mayis b'chutz la'aretz. Fine, let Rav say the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva in chutz la'aretz, based on this rule, that anybody who's meko in Eretz Yisrael, the halacha is like him in chutz la'aretz. Why go this roundabout way of saying that you throw away the avionis and eat the kafirisin? The answer is, e'omahochi, but if Rav had said that, you would think maybe that din, maybe that statement applies only as far as ma'aser. Where after all, ma'aser for most kinds of trees in Eretz Yisrael itself is only the drabanan. According to most Rishonim, only grain, grapes, and olives are chayiv in Truma and ma'aser from Torah. All other trees, according to most Rishonim, are chayiv in Truma and ma'aser, even in Eretz Yisrael, only the drabanan. So if Rav had said the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva in Chutz La'aretz, then you would say, okay, we're talking about ma'aser. Even in the areas of Chutz La'aretz where ma'aser applies on a drabanan level, and you have the countries near Eretz Yisrael where it applies, then you would say, okay, Rav is saying because Rabbi Akiva argues on ma'aser and says that you don't take ma'aser from the kafirisin, then therefore in Chutz La'aretz you can follow him. Avol gabe orla, but when it comes to orla de ba'aretz. Midaraisa, where after all, Orla applies on a Daraisa level in Eretz Yisrael, unlike Meister of Tzlaf, which even in Eretz Yisrael was only the Rabbanon, but Orla of Tzlaf is applicable in Eretz Yisrael Daraisa. So aim of a chutzlah is nami nigzo. So you would have thought that Rav wants to say then that we should be gozer in chutzlah as well, that you can't eat the kafirisin. Kamashmal, and therefore you have to spell out that he's saying that he's following Rabbi Akiva's opinion as far as Meister and as far as Orla.
Technically, what's the right
thing
in Israel?
So, according to most Rishonim, only grain, grapes, and olives are chayiv in Truma and Ma'aser, the right thing in Israel. All other things are chayiv only the Rabban. The Rambam, now the Rambam notably disagrees with that. The Rambam holds that all tree fruits are chayiv in Truma and Ma'aser, the right thing in Israel. Only vegetables, according to him, are only vegetables or whatever, fruits from plants that are not considered trees in Halacha are chayiv only the Rabban. So according to him, one way of explaining our Gemara would be that we're talking about nowadays, after the Churban, the Rambam learned that all products in Eretz Yisrael, Truma and Meister, and other mitzvahs of Lois Baris, apply to them only the Rambam.
Most Rishonim disagree with
the Rambam and say that only grain, grapes, and olives, the Chayiv and Truma and Meister, the Raisa, in Eretz Yisrael. So you have a double machlokas because you have that. You also have the machlokas between the Rambam and the Raivad, whether in fact the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael still continues to exist nowadays,
and that
which has an implication as far as whether these things apply to Raivad or the Rabban. Anyway, the point is, again, Rav couldn't just say the halachos like Rabbi Akiva and Chofarz, because then we would misunderstand that he's talking about Meiser, given that in Eretz Yisrael it's only the Rabbanim anyway, either because Tlaf is not Chayiv and Meiser Daraisa in the first place, or because nowadays it's only Chayiv the Rabbanim, because that's the Chorban. Then you would think, okay, you know, it's your all for sure, then you don't have to. But as far as Orla, where Orla continues to exist, the right there now, it's your all now. So you would think, therefore, we should be Gozer and Chutzlaret as well, and therefore Rav has to specify that, no, since Rav Akiva holds that all that the Kafrisen are not considered a fruit, even in Eretz Yisrael, then we should follow him in Chutzlaret and we're able to eat them from a plant that's Orla.
Why is the different treatment for Orla and Master?
Because Meister, again, Meister only applies to certain products, to certain things in Eretz Yisrael, whereas Orla applies to all trees. And also, you have Meister applies in Chutzlaret only Midrabanon or Midrabi Nevi'im or whatever, whereas Orla is Halacha. And again, you have an opinion that it's Halacha Meshmi Sinai, you have an opinion that that's a Din Rabbanon. But anyway, the key thing is that there's a difference between Meister, again, there's a difference, according to most Rishonim, there's a difference between Meister of Tlaf, which even in Eretz Yisrael is only the Rabbanon, versus Orla of Tlaf, which is the Araisa, because Orla applies to all trees.
That's my question. Why is Orla the Araisa?
Because that's how it is, because Orla applies to all trees, because Orla applies to all trees, and Meiser applies to only green grapes knowledge.
So that doesn't explain why it's the Araisa.
Because if the Torah tells us, according to most Rishonim, that only grain, grapes, and olives are high of Daraisa and Meiser, then that means all the other ones are the Rabbanon. But if the Torah tells us that every fruit tree is high of an Orla, then that's it. Every fruit tree. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's what I explained now. Okay, fine. Okay, continues the Gemara. Ravina Ashkechei l'Marbar of Ashi because Zorik Aviyonis v'ka'ocho kafrisim. Ravina one time found Marbar of Ashi was doing that. He was eating from a slash plant, which was Orla. And he was doing exactly what we just said, what Rav said. He was throwing away the Aviyonis, because those are also as Orla, but he was eating the Kafrisin. Amalei mai daitchas Rav Akiva de Mekel. So he says, what is it? You hold like Rav Akiva, who's Mekel, and therefore says that you can eat the Kafrisin. In that case, if you're going to say the rule is that you always go according to the most lenient opinion when it comes to Mitzvah Saflois Ba'aretz, but you're talking in Chosfaretz, v'le Eved Marka Bez Shammai, the Mekilich Beis. You should be able to follow Bez Shammai, who's even more Mekel, who holds that Orla doesn't apply to its last plant at all. That's none. Namely, we learn in a Mishnah.
To any
part of the slash plant. That's none. Slash the Shammai and Kalayim Bekerim, or Vesalim and Kalayim Bekerim. That Beshammai holds, this is actually part of the same Mishnah that we quoted before. This is both from the Shai and Masech the Maizrith. But anyway, Beshammai says that a slash plant is Kalayim Bekerim. It's Kalayim if you plant it in a vineyard. Now, you're allowed to plant trees in a vineyard. You're just not allowed to plant vegetables or grain in a vineyard. So if Beshammai is saying that a slash plant is Kalayim in a vineyard, that's as much as to say that it's considered a vegetable. And therefore, Orla wouldn't apply. Or Basilim ain't Kalayim Bakarim. Basilim says it's not considered, because it's considered a tree. Elu v'elu modim shechayav and ba'orla. Both of them agree. On the other hand, that slash plant is subject to Orla. Now, before we even get to the answer, we have to ask, Hogufakasha, you seem to have a contradiction in the Mishnah itself. I'm slash Beshammai and Kalayim Bakarim. You're telling me that Beshammai says that a slash plant is Kalayim in a vineyard. Alma min Yeraku, which means they consider it a type of vegetable or herb or whatever. Then they're saying that they agree it's chayav and orla, alum in ilang, meaning that they hold it as a tree. So what is it? Do they consider it to be a tree or not?
Well, that's just a tree.
Right? Only it's just a tree.
So if you consider it
a tree, then you're allowed to plant it in a vineyard.
Right.
But, yeah.
It cannot be both.
Yeah. So the answer is hal like kasha. The answer is it's not a kasha. Beshamai sapukim is safalu, because Beshamai says that the status of the flock plant is a suffix. So in each case, they go lachumra. So lachumra, it might be a tree, therefore it's subject to Orla. It might be a vegetable or an herb or whatever, and therefore it's subject to Kalayim Bekerim. But anyway, Mekol Mokom Veshamai Havalei Sofik Orla. The bottom line, though, is it comes out according to Veshamai that it's a Sofik of Orla, or it's none. And we learn in another Mishnah, a Sofik Orla Be'eretz Yisrael also, when you have a Sofik of Orla in Eretz Yisrael, where Orla exists on a Daraisa level, so it's also Sofik Orla could be, by the way, two different types. One is where you don't know whether this particular tree is 3 years old. Another case would be where you have a bunch of trees and somebody picked a fruit from one of them and you don't know which one he picked from. Anyway, now to throw all such a thing as also, over Surya Mutter, in Surya, a Suffolk is Mutter. Syria being those areas that David conquered before he fully conquered Eretz Israel. So even Safagar, they're right. Over Chutzpah Aret, out in Chutzpah everywhere else outside Syria, Yored Velekeach, you even can go and buy from an orchard where there are Orla plants. Over Vavshalo, you're Enu Loiket, as long as you don't actually see the person picking from the Orla tree. So we see, in other words, according to Beth Shammai, that the whole Orla status of the flat plant is based on a topic, because we don't know whether it's a tree or not. So in Chutzla Ares, we should say that we're saying even with a type of plant that we know that is subject to Orla, as long as you don't actually see it picked, you're allowed to eat it. So in this case, you would also be able to, because the whole status of the plant is a suffix. So why? So again, Ravina is asking Rabbi Ravashi. You're saying, again, you have three opinions on the subject of these kafrisim. You have Rabbi Eliezer holds that they're part of the fruit, therefore they'd be subject to Orla. Rabbi Akiva holds that they're not part of the fruit, therefore in Chutzpah Aretz we can follow him, because he's the more lenient opinion. But Veshama is the most lenient of all. According to them, it's even a suffix, whether Orla even applies to any part of the flock plant. So if you're saying that you can go according to the most lenient opinion in Chutzvaret, then why can't you eat the avionis, the berries themselves? The answer is, the difference is like this. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, B'mokim, Rabbi Eliezer, Abdin, and Kavaseh. When we have a machloikas, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, we can say, okay, we can follow Rabbi Akiva. We can say, okay, usually maybe the halacha would be like Rabbi Eliezer. Not usually. Usually, actually, Rabbi Akiva against another Tana. Usually, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. In this case, we could say, okay, the halacha would, in Eretz Yisrael, be like Rabbi Eliezer, that the kafrisin are part of this. Because we could say, in this case, Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is more logical, because it's similar to the halacha, the brachos that we're saying, whatever, the point is, at least, but okay, at least Rabbi Akiva's opinion, relative to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, is a legitimate opinion. We're able to follow it and go for it. On the other hand, we know as an almost universal rule that when Beth Shammai argues with Beth Hillel, the halacha is like Beth Hillel. Therefore, as far as we're concerned, when we have a statement to Beth Shammai, it's not considered a Mishnah. It's not considered a valid opinion in halacha that we can follow. We had that in the first paragraph, by the way, when we had the story. Remember, Pyrkin is saying that he followed Beth Shammai's opinion about how to say Kriyashma, and he was in danger over there. So we see that when the halacha is established like Beth Hillel, then that's it. You can't even think to follow Beth Shammai. So that's it. So we, in other words, of the three opinions, we discount the Shammai's opinion because relative to Beis Hillel, it's not considered to have any validity in halacha at all.
Beis Shammai's opinion is that
the whole status of the tzlach plant, as far as Orla, is a suffix. And therefore, the halacha ought to be that in Chutz La'aretz, you're allowed to eat suffix Orla. But the answer is that we ignore Beis Shammai's opinion. The famous thing that lost it. Love it, I lost it. We like the Shammai, but right now, yeah. So that's it. So we ignore the Shammai's opinion. So we're left. Vitzilah is saying that the flock plant is considered. Vitzilah is saying that the flock plant definitely is considered a tree. You're allowed to plant it in a vineyard. It's not considered kelayim, but Orla applies there. So therefore, within Basil's opinion, you have the two opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the kafrisin are considered a fruit. Rabbi Eliezer is saying that they are considered a fruit, therefore Orla would be, therefore they'd be subject to Orla, they'd be also an Orla. Rabbi Akiva holding not. Fine, we're able to follow Rabbi Akiva's opinion against Rabbi Eliezer. That's considered a legitimate opinion in halacha.
Not
Beis Shammai against Beis Hillel. Usually we say halacha ke Rabbi Akiva mechaveira. But fine, even if we say in this case that in Eretz Yisrael, halacha would be like Rabbi Eliezer, but still we're entitled to follow Rabbi Akiva's opinion.
The Gemara knows we don't follow Beit Shammai. Couldn't have answered that question earlier instead of going through the whole thing.
That's the style of the Gemara. It goes through the whole question, but we it wasn't that long. I mean, we only took a couple of lines to discuss the Shammai.
It was important to convention.
So we're going to ask another.
So therefore,
okay.
The din in
Chutz La'aretz. So far, we're saying that the din in Chutz La'aretz would be that we can follow Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, who holds that the kafrisin are not considered a fruit as far as the din of ma'aser. Therefore, he says you don't have to take ma'aser from them, only from the kafrisin, only from the avionis, only from the berries themselves. Therefore, relative to Orla, also Rabbi Akiva would say that they're not considered part of the fruit, and therefore they're not. Also as Orla. Fine. So now it's true we can't follow that opinion, but in Chutz La'aretz we could. Okay.
And that Chutz La'aretz means everything except Syria.
Everything right. Right. Well, we said even right. Okay. So the question is, but typically Janasa Shomer Pri. Okay, but don't you have a different reason that you should say it's also? Even if you're going to grant Rabbi Akiva's opinion that the kafrisin are not considered a fruit, but they are a shomer for the fruit. They protect it while it's growing. V'rachmana amav aralsim or lasa es period. When the pasuk says you should make orla es its fruit, es hatopal a period. The word es means something extra, something that's secondary to the fruit. O my near shomel a pri. So in other words, just like the fruit itself is also as orla, so is the shomer, so is the peel. So these kafrisin are the peels of the avionis. Why are they not also as orla? The answer is Amar Rava. Heicham min denasa shomer the pri. When do we define something as a shomer of a fruit? Heicha de isay ben betolosh ben mechomer. When it stays attached, both when the fruit is detached from the ground and when it's still attached. So let's say, for example, the shell of a walnut would be an example of that. It stays attached even after the walnut is picked, or the peel of a fruit would be another, whatever, many examples. Here, the kafrisin is still attached to the fruit when it's growing on the flock bush, but after you pick the avionis off, the kafrisin falls off. So therefore it's not considered a shomer. However, Abaya says to the Rabbi, I have a contradiction from you, from a Mishnah. Now you have like this. We learned in Chulin that you have a concept of Shomer that's also relevant as far as the dinim of Tumah V'Tahara. We know that it takes It takes a kabesa of food to make that tummy to make other food tummy. According to many Rishonim, it also takes a kabeza of food to become tamei in the first place.
Something like a
kabeza. The five minim. So you have a machlokas Rishonim whether food less than a kabeza can become tamei, but everybody agrees that to transmit tumah to something else, it needs to be at least a kabeza. Now, you have a concept called shomer, which is if you have, let's say, for example, shomer, again, an example might be an orange peel, let's say. The orange itself is protected by the peel, and therefore the peel combines together with the orange to make up the shield. So you have, there's a shield cabeza. If the flesh of the orange itself is less than a cabeza, but with the peel it equals a cabeza or more,
regardless of the amount of peel,
does that then it's considered, it's all considered a cabeza, and it's matame other food. So a Mishnah says pitma shorimin mitzarefes, when it comes to a pomegranate. Now you have at the top of a pomegranate, so you have that crown like thing at the top of the pomegranate. Inside the crown, you have basically what's left over of the flower that the fruit grew from. You have in the middle, there's a stick, a stem, kind of, and around it, there are a bunch of little hair-like things. So the stem, that's a crown. So inside the crown, you have a crown-shaped thing on the outside, and inside it, you have a stick. If you open up that crown, you'll find inside is a stick, which is the leftover thing of the whatever it's called, the pistil or whatever, that's in the middle of the, there's a stalk of that was inside the flower, right? And around it, you have a bunch of hairs, which are the little hairs that were in the flower when it was growing, whatever. So pitma shorim mitzareth. So the pitma, that stalk in the middle, that piece in the middle of the crown, that combines together to make up the kabeza, as far as Tumas Erechin, v'hanet shaloi ein mitzaref, but the hairs around that do not combine. Now, why is that? Midkama hanet shaloi ein mitzaref, so we're saying that the hairs don't combine, alma delav oichalu, meaning that they're not considered part of the fruit. So they're not considered part of the food. And the reason for that is, Rashi explains, based on the Gemara and Cholin over there, because those are considered shomer al gabe shomer. The whole concept of shomer only applies to the bottom peel or shell or whatever that protects the food. But if there's a shell on top of that, that one is not mitzvah. Here what you have is the pitma is considered to directly protect the food because it's a direct outgrowth of the peel of the pomegranate. But the nape
is what again?
Okay, so again, think of what the top of a pomegranate looks like. There's a crown over there on the top of it. Inside the crown, you have So there's a pomegranate cut in half. So you have the crown. Inside the crown, you don't see it really clearly in this picture, but you have one stalk, one stem-like thing that's in the middle, and then around it you have these hair-like things.
Right.
So we're saying that the middle piece is mitzaref, but the hairs around it are not, because those are a shomer agabe shomer. So the point is, now we're saying the nate doesn't combine, we're saying therefore it's not considered part of the food, and it's not even considered a shomer, because again it's a shomer on top of a shomer, but yet, Utnan gabe ola, what we learn when it comes to ola, klipu rimen bahanes shalos, the peels of a pomegranate, and the nates, and these hairs, klipu gozen bahagoinin, as well as the shells of nuts, bahagoinin, and the seeds of fruits, chayav and ba'ola, all of those are chayav and ola. So you see that even if they're not considered a fruit, they're still part of espiria, still something secondary. But now, the point is the nates doesn't exist after you pick the fruit, because it dries up and falls away, and yet we're saying that it's subject to Ola. So just because something falls up, just because something falls off after the fruit is picked, doesn't exclude it from Ola. So what are you telling me? The kafrisim should be excluded because they fall off? Elo, Amar Rava. So Rava says you're right. We have to change it. When do we say that peels or whatever are considered a shomer fruit? When at least it still exists, when the fruit becomes ripe. Which fine, the hairs of a pomegranate, fine, they still exist when the fruit is ripe on the tree. They fall off after it. They stay attached. They fall off after the pomegranate is picked. High kafras, let's say b'shas d'mar peira. The kafras falls off even before the berry has become completely mature. So the question is, Amy, is that so? That you're saying there's a difference whether it still exists when the fruit is ripe or not? The maskali of dates of orla, maskali are also a kind of, they're like a peel, they're like a surrounding peel that grows on the dates at an early stage. Asiri, from a date palm that's orla, they're also hoyovanasa shomla tree because they're a shomer for the fruit. And the shomer the peri emasabi, at what stage of the date development are they a shomer? The kufra, only when the dates are very young, before they're ripe. The kakori le shomer the peri, and he's still calling it a shomer. So you see, even though it's a shomer at a very early stage, and it falls off later on, it's still considered part of the food. It's still esachal for the period. So why should it be different with kafrisin? The answer is Rav Nachman Sovel HaKrav Yetzin. The answer is, when Rav Nachman is saying that these maskali of the dates are subject to Orla, he's following the opinion of Rav Yossi, which is not necessarily the Allah. It's not. As you have a machlokas, Rav Yossi Oma Smadar Osir. Rav Yossi says when it comes to grapes, that Smadar is already Osir as Orla, with Nature of Kri, because it's a Kri, 1 second. Smadar means, it actually describes, after the flower, like this, you have fruit grow from flowers on a plant. You have an early stage in the development of the fruit, for example, grapes. When the flower falls off and you start seeing the individual grapes, they're tiny at that point, but they're still recognizable as individual grapes. That's called smadar. So Rabbi Yossi is saying, once it reaches that point, it's already called a peri. Or pligu rabbanon alei. The rabbanon disagree with him and say that it needs to get to a later stage to be considered a fruit. So therefore, Rabbi Nachman would say that therefore the fruit, even if it's at a very early stage, once it's recognizable as a fruit, is already subject to Orla. That's the point when the maskali are attached to them. Therefore, he says maskali are also subject to Ola. The Rabbanon, who disagree and say that only with grapes, only when they reach a later stage of development. Same thing by dates, only when they reach a later stage. And by the time they reach that later stage, the maskali have fallen off.
And therefore,
it's a Rava, not Rava, so the whole Gemara that we were saying before, the whole thing that Rav was saying, that the kafrisin of a slash plant are not subject to Ola, because it's a similar thing. They only are attached to the berries at a very early stage, and then they fall off. So then in that case, they're not subject to Ola. Okay.
And then again, it's a topic whether the berries are trees or not trees.
No, that's a whole, that's no, because, you know, that's what I said, but Shammai, forget about the Shammai. We don't have a topic. We know they're trees. Okay. However, Rav Shimi bin Hadar asks on that, over Shari Loni Pligya Bonan Alay. So are you telling me that this machlokas between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim as far as Smada, which is a very early stage of grapes, you're telling me that they have the same machlokas as far as other trees, which you want to apply the machlokas from grapes to dates? Well, that's not, but we learn in a Mishnah. From what point of the development of fruit on a tree are you not allowed to cut down the tree during Shemitah? Now, the thing is like this. Usually, you're not allowed to cut down fruit trees because you have a concept of bal pashtis. However, Tosfos points out, based on other Gemaras, that you could have, let's say, it's producing very little fruit, or you could have the wood of the tree is more valuable than the fruit, or whatever. You have different cases. The truth is, in other places, the Gemara says, even in such cases, you shouldn't be cutting down fruit trees. But nevertheless, happy halacha. No, dead is different. We're not talking about that. But when the tree is alive and producing fruit, the Gemara mentions elsewhere that's not a good idea to cut them down, even if they're producing very little fruit and everything. But nevertheless, afi halacha, if they're producing very little fruit, or the wood is worth more than the fruit or whatever, then you're allowed to cut them down. However, during Shemitah, you have another consideration. During Shemitah, you have a concept that fruit of Shemitah is la'ochla, the Torah says, it's meant to be eaten, and one meaning of that is v'loy v'hechsed. You're not allowed to destroy it, which has a lot of implications in halacha. Nowadays, Shemitah applies in Eretz Yisrael. You have, for example, you have, let's say, edible parts of fruit, even if you don't eat them. Let's say, for example, you peel an apple, that peels still have your shemitah. You can't just throw them away in the garbage. So you have different things like that. So one of them is, therefore, that if you're going to chop down a tree where the fruits are still in the process of development on it, then you're ruining those fruits. Now they're not going to grow anymore. So at what point of the fruit development are you not allowed to cut down the tree during Shemitah? Beit Shammai says, with any kind of tree, as soon as they start producing, producing what? Rashi over here says that it means once they start producing fruit, meaning even if the fruit is still very tiny. In a different place, the Gemara also brings us in Sachim, and actually Gilui Nashash, Rabbi Akiva Eger, points out that in a different place, Rashi defines Mishiyetziu once they start producing leaves. So what is it? It's not clear. Anyway, that's Beit Shammai. Or Basilil, I mean, Basilil says it depends on the type of tree. Hecharuvin Mishiyetziu, when it comes to carobs, they're considered grown enough that now you can't chop down a tree. When you start seeing chains, you know, the carobs grow on a tree. You get to a point where like they look like a chain. You see a chain of seeds in them or whatever. So at that point they're considered grown enough that now it's considered fruit of Shemitah and you can't damage them by chopping down the tree. As far as grapevines, when they're zigareu, which the Gemara is going to explain soon what that means, olives, once the olives, you're not allowed to cut down the tree, once the nape, once the hairs or petals or whatever grow around the olive, they have petals kind of around them, yeah. All other kind of trees, when they start producing fruit or leaves, as the case may be. But Amar of Asi and Rav Asi explains, who boisu, who gerua, who pula lovam. You should understand, when we say over here, you have a definition that's mentioned in a lot of places in Shas and even in Sukkim. You have a word boisu, which means immature fruit. So you should know, that is the same as gerua. Who pull halavan? That is the same as a white bean. And they're going to ask, what do you mean pull halavan? So what do you mean a white bean? We're talking about grapes over here. Ela ema chiurei kapul halavan. What we mean is that once the grape reaches the size of a white bean, that's the definition of mishia gareu. So therefore, one.
What type of white bean is this?
So it's not clear. And in fact, Tosfos says we're not. Tosfos over here says that actually, therefore, applying to the halachas of brachas, which after all is our masechta, even though we're in the middle of talking about mitzvahs of lois baret, but applying to the halachas of brachas, a fruit that's less than the size of a white bean, you wouldn't say berufriya eitz on it. You'd only say berufriya adama. Now, what the size of that white bean is, we're not so clear on. So therefore, the point is that when you have immature fruits, you say hadam on them. Only when they become large enough, only when they're close to ripe, then you say hadam. Because we're not really clear yet. Anyway, the point is, again, according to Bishilu, which of course is halacha, grapes are considered mature, at least mature enough to be considered a fruit, only when they reach the stage of girua, which again, we're saying is the definition of boiser, which we're also saying a synonym for it is boiser. Now, boiser is a later stage than smadar. Smadar, we said before, is when the flower petals fall off and you first can see the individual grapes. They're tiny, but you can see them. As opposed to boiser or girua is when they're larger, where they're the size of a white bean. So, man shamat le da'ama boiser ein smadar loy. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi, it should be even before that. Even once they're smadar already, you should be also to chop down the tree during Shemitah. The Chachamim, who is it that's saying that boiser is considered, yes, smadar not? Rabbanan. Apparently that's the Rabbanan. Bekatani shavah kolei lonis mishayetiv. And they still say all other trees, when they start producing fruit, then the dinim of Shemitah apply to them. So you see that when it comes to grapes, they disagree with Rabbi Yossi. They say smadar is not enough to be considered a fruit yet. It has to be boiser. It has to be that larger stage. But when it comes to other trees, they agree. Once the fruit starts being produced, even though it's tiny, then it's already considered a fruit.
Only disagree on grapes.
They only disagree on grapes.
And grapes, we say, it's very small when it's the size like an olive.
About the size of a white bean.
Which is about an olive?
No, smaller than an olive.
Smaller than an olive.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is, so Rav Nachman is telling, so again, let's go back. Let's recap where we're up to so far. Rav Nachman is telling us that the maschili, the peels that you find on immature dates, are chayiv and orla. We're trying to say that's only according to Rav Yossi. Mm-hmm. We're saying, but now we're saying that Rav Yossi and the Chachamim disagree only as far as grapes. When it comes to most kind of trees, both Rav Yossi and the Chachamim agree that even very immature fruit is still considered fruit. So the maschili, therefore, should be part of the fruit. They should be esta tofala period. There's something secondary and they're a secondary thing. They're an auxiliary thing to the fruit. Therefore, they should be chayiv and orla. And so what are you telling? So Rav Nachman is telling us that applies to maschili of dates. The same thing should apply to kaprisin of slaf, because this, you have the same kind of thing. They grow on the berry at an immature stage, and then they fall off afterwards, but they should be subject to orla. What are you telling me, Rav, that in chutzlar, if you're allowed to eat them from an orla, from an orla plant? Ela omer Rava. So Rava rather says like this. Okay, the rule is like this. When do we say that it's considered a shomer and therefore that orla would apply to it? Heichad, if you shakla, so the shomer, mayis pera, where if you remove the shomer, the fruit will die. So for example, that's true, for example, of the maschili of date. If you take off the maschili when the date is still immature, then the date won't continue to grow. On the other hand, heicha the kishakla slave. We didn't talk about any shomer for grapes. On the other hand, heicha the kishakla slave hocha. But over here, when it comes to a tzlan, kishakla slave loy mayis tera. Even if you remove the kafristin, when the berries are still immature, the berries will still continue to grow. As a matter of fact, the Gemara gives an example. Have a uvda v'shaflul and nates d'rimayna. One time it happened, they tried removing the nates, those hairs around the crown of a pomegranate, v'yavish rimayna, and the pomegranate dried up. So we see that the nates is an essential shomer for the peri, and therefore it's considered part, and therefore it's also as orla. But v'shaflul of parcha debitisa. On the other hand, one time they tried taking off the kafrisin from a flock plant, the ikayim bitisa, and the bitisa, which is the fruit, the berries still continue to grow. So you see that's not so essential to the growth of the plant. So that's the difference. That is why the kafrisin, unlike maschili and unlike the nates of a pomegranate, etc., are not subject to orla. Well, they're not subject to orla, but they're not considered part of the fruit. So in
when you remove them, the fruit
because the fruit can still continue to grow. So in Eretz Yisrael, maybe the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, and they are also. But in Chutzlar, it's because we have the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who's more makel, then we can follow him in Chutzlar, and that gives us therefore what David said that you can eat the kafrisin in Chutzlar.
The deed of kafrisin extends to all berries?
No, so we're saying this particular kind of berry, it would be on a case-by-case. And many berries are not trees in the first place. Yeah, we're going to talk about them, and as we go through the peric, certain kinds of berries are ha'et, certain kinds are ha'adam. Sometimes you even have, there's a difference between wild ones and cultivated ones. You have nowadays, for example, you have a difference, for example, between, I think, different kinds of blueberries, for example, whether they're ha'et or ha'adam. Yeah? Okay. So the Gemara said, now, this next part is in parenthesis because, in fact, Rishonim say that this next part is not originally part of the Gemara. It actually comes from Halachas Gdolos, which is a sefer by one of the early Gaonim, Rabbi Odoi Gaon, and it was apparently somebody had written it on the side of his Gemara, and somebody else thought that it's part of the Gemara and put it in. So Rashi didn't say one way or the other, but Rishonim talk about that. So one second. The Hilchos HaKamar Rashi. Now the Rosh, among others, explains that it's not part of the Gemara. The Hilchos HaKamar Rabashi, Tosfos also actually says it here. The Hilchos HaKamar Rabashi, the Zorik HaSavayonis V'Ochol HaSakapritin, the Halacha is like Ma'abar Rabashi, that in the Chos Torah you have to throw away the Avionis because they're Orla, but you can eat the Kafritin because they're not subject to Orla, for the reasons that we just said.
Do you have a picture of these berries?
I showed you a picture of the berries before.
No.
Yeah, I showed you a picture of all the berries together. Right?
All the berries, but these specific berries.
I showed you a picture of caper berries. No, you know, a picture over here, a whole bunch of them together.
You go to the store. Yeah, you ask
for a jar of caper berries. You can see. Okay. So the halacha is like him that you can eat the aviyon, that you can eat the kaprisin. Umidilgabe orla lav peyrinin. Now, since we're saying that relative to orla, they're not considered a fruit, legabe brachas nami lav peyrinin. Therefore, relative to brachas, we also don't consider them a fruit. Therefore, we would say hadama on them rather than hay, because they're not considered part of the
general.
Now that would be not like we said before, not like the brisa that we quoted before that said that on the kaprisin, you say burpri hay. Now, the question becomes then, is the halacha like this piece or not? If it's from the Gemara, then the halacha is like it. If it's from the halacha, it's Zoylus. Not necessarily. Rabbi Yehudoi Goyim was a great person. He was one of the great Goyim. But the fact of the matter is, from the time of the Goyim and all, and on, there's no one person whose opinion has to be accepted as halacha by everybody. So the Rosh, in fact, disagrees with this piece. He says that it's not part of the original, not only it's not part of the original Gemara, but he disagrees with the halacha. He says the halacha would be like the brisis we quoted before, that the kafrisin would be hay, even though they're not the primary fruit, but because they're attached to the fruit, and they are, therefore, it's, in other words, the halachas of brachas are not necessarily the same. And the fact is, after all, we're saying that in Eretz Yisrael, they are considered part of the fruit, because in Eretz Yisrael, the halacha is like Rebbe Eliezer. We're not going to say that the bracha on kafrisin is going to be different in Eretz Yisrael and outside it. There's no reason to say that. It's one thing as far as orla, which is a mitzvah for your baris. So the Rosh says, as far as orla, fine, you have the distinction between Eretz Yisrael and Chotlaris. In Eretz Yisrael, the kafrisin are also in Chutzlar is their mother, but as far as brachas, everywhere it should be Hadama. Other Rishonim disagree with him and say that no, we can't accept this conclusion of the Gemara, according to other Rishonim, they would in fact be Hadama. So you have actually a machlokas that comes from that as far as other similar things. For example, candied orange peels, what bracha do you make on them? Do you make ha'eth because they're part of the fruit, they're attached to the fruit, and orla applies to them, and so on and so forth, or do you make hadama because they're not the prime candied orange peels, let's say. They take orange peels and they cook them with sugar, or they dip them in chocolate or whatever. What bracha do you say on them? So according to the Rosh over here, you would be saying ha'eth on them because they're part of the fruit. And the halacha is not like this piece that we just said. We didn't modify them. The fact is, you don't eat orange peels by themselves. If you ate a raw orange peel, for sure, you'd say hadama on it, because it's not the normal way of eating it. But if you candy it, which is a normal way, then that becomes a normal way of eating it. So maybe you would say, hey, according to the Rosh, you would be saying, hey, son. According to many other Rishonim, we still stick with the conclusion of the Gemara over here and say that you would say hadama on them. The actual practical halacha is that, yes, for that reason, you say, if I remember correctly, the actual practical halacha is you do say hadama on them.
Because
they're not the primary product of the tree. And the rule is, if it's not the primary product, then you say hadama. Okay. Next. Pilpli. What happens when it comes to peppercorns? Now, we're not talking about bell peppers or hot peppers or whatever. Those are native to America. They didn't have them in the Gemara times. We're talking about peppercorns, the little black or white or whatever ones that they're, yeah. So, what happens if a person eats them? What bracha does he make on them? Rav Shesha sama shakol, Rava ama loiklum. Rav Shesha says you say shakol on them, Rava says you don't say any bracha on them at all. Because it's not something that's normally eaten. But as the, it's not considered food. But as the Rava latame, Rava is going according to his own. We're talking about not hot peppers. Hot peppers are native to America. We're talking about peppercorns, which they grind up into black pepper, for example. Black pepper, white pepper, whatever. Those kinds of things, yeah. So they're not a food by themselves. You eat them as a seasoning with other foods. But as the Rava latame, so Rava is going according to his own svara, the Amar Rava, cost hopefully be able to be pretty potter. If a person chews and eats peppercorns on Yom Kippur, he would be potter from kares, because it's not considered food. Cost zangzvila be able to be pretty potter. And similarly, if a person chews ginger on Yom Kippur, then he's potter, because it's not considered food. So the Gemara says, nay, so therefore, it's not food. You don't make a broth. The Gemara says, "Mate, so you have a contradiction." Hoyer a Meir Oimer. We learn in a Brisa. Reb Meir used to say, "Mimashma shenema va'araltim olase eskiri." Let's go back to Orla again. Since the pasuk says about Orla that you should declare its fruit to be Orla, ain't obviously we're talking about something from a tree. Any yadeh she'ets Michael, who obviously we mean a fruit. Obviously we mean a tree that produces edible fruit. So obviously, for example, we're not going to say that Orla applies. Let's say. To a maple tree, let's say, or to a pine tree or whatever. It doesn't produce edible fruit. So it's so why does the pasuk have to specify Uli in the pasuk? It says if you plant any fruit tree, the pasuk could just say if you plant any tree, then you should declare its fruit order. Lahobi eitz shatam eitzay piriyah shava. The answer is the Torah wants to include by the word eitz machol a tree where the wood is equally as edible at where the taste of the wood is equal to the taste of the fruit. The Ezahu, what kind of tree is that, where the wood tastes just like the fruit? Zehav Kilpul, and this refers to a pepper tree.
Lalam Nechosha. The wood is like the fruit?
The wood has a spicy taste, has a sharp, spicy taste, like the fruit. Lalam Nechosha Kilpul and Chayot. In fact, the Gemara actually brings this in Sukkah. You have the Gemara starts mentioning over there that an Esrog is all, that an Esrog is like that also. The wood of the tree tastes like the flesh of the Esrog. So,
eat the wood, technically?
Well, I don't know if you could eat it, but at least it has a similar taste.
So you
yeah.
make both,
no, you don't make it. No, you were so precious, I guess, if you ate the wood. Maybe I don't know if the wood is normally considered edible, but whatever. The point is that so the Gemara actually asks over there that if we learn that remember, the pasuk doesn't say Esther, the pasuk is pre-Ethoder. We have to figure out, we know with Kabbalah, we know Alach L'Mishnah Sinai, that it means that the Esther, but the Gemara asks, based on this, maybe it should mean peppercorns, and the Gemara has to deal with over there how we know that's not, how we know you don't say peppercorns as one of the dalim. Anyway, the point is that pepper tree, the wood has the same taste as the fruit. L'lam d'chosha purple and chayavan ba'ola. That teaches you, therefore, that peppercorns are chayav and orla, because that's what we're including from the word eitz machol. You can also learn from that, by the way, that Eretz Yisrael is not lacking anything. Even peppercorns, which are a tropical fruit, can grow in Eretz Yisrael. There's actually a medrash that says an interesting thing. It says there's a pasuk in Tehillos that says that Shlomo had an orchard where he planted all different kinds of trees, whatever he wanted. So the medrash says, what do you mean? Anyone can plant any tree they want. The point is like this. Shlomo knew the whole world gets its ashpa from Hashem through Eretz Yisrael. Hashem gives direct hashpa to Eretz Yisrael, and from that, the rest of the world enjoys the outflow.
But the things that did not grow in Eretz Yisrael.
One second, listen. So therefore, that means that you have in Eretz Yisrael, you have every kind of climate in the world. That means, so in other words, so Shlomo, being Shlomo, the Chacham Mikol Adam, he knew what area in Eretz Yisrael is the ruchniestika source of each place in the world where various kinds of plants will grow, and therefore he planted in each one the appropriate kind of plant. So he would know, for example, where is there a place in Eretz Yisrael that has a tropical climate and which is the source for the Hashpa from Hashem for all the places in the world that have tropical climate, and he planted tropical plants over there. And the same thing with everything else. Because Eretz Yisrael has a lot of microclimates. Even nowadays, for example, they grow bananas in some places in Eretz Yisrael, they grow other tropical fruits, yeah.
But how do you explain then that if Eretz Yisrael gives the bracha to all the world, some things grow in the world that don't grow in Eretz Yisrael?
They can grow in Eretz Yisrael. Practically speaking, they don't grow them as a cash crop in Eretz Yisrael, but they could if they wanted to. Yeah, Mishnayos that mention certain kinds, for example, walnuts, plums, other such things that they didn't grow them in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't grow them as a cash crop in Eretz Yisrael. If you find them in the market, the chazaka is they come from plums, but they could grow in Eretz Yisrael if they wanted to. And nowadays they do. They grow plums in Eretz Yisrael. They grow walnuts in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so the point is, so you see from that, given that, again, midaraisa, the genome of Orla, apply only in Eretz Yisrael, that teaches you that Eretz Yisrael is not lacking anything, even peppers. As it says, a land in which you won't eat bread with difficulty and poverty, nothing is lacking in it. So therefore, so the point is, in other words, that you see that peppercorns are something that is very much edible, and Orla applies to them. Then you know what peppercorns look like. Come on, you've seen them in fancy restaurants, for example. They'll bring you one of those large pepper grinders and grind the pepper right in front of you. Okay, whatever. If I can find a picture, I'll show you. But yeah. Okay, whatever. Here. That's what they look like. They look like little tiny blackberries. Okay. Anyway, so what is Rabba telling us that they're not considered food to the extent that even a person eats them on Yom Kippur, he's not chayav kares, and that you don't make a bracha on them? If we're saying that they are considered a food, the answer is like Tasha, habrita tivta habia beshta. The difference is whether they're fresh or whether they're dried. When they're fresh, they're still not something that's normally eaten, fine, but they're normal. It's normal enough to eat them that therefore you would make a bracha on them. But if once they're dry, then you wouldn't. Amri le rabbanon le meremer. So in that connection, the rabbanon say to meremer, cost. What do you mean cost zangrila b'yemet puri potter? What do you mean that Rava is telling us that a person chews ginger on Yom Kippur, he'd be potter? V'ha'amar Rava, but didn't Rava say hi he malta de'asim be'hin devoy? The himalta which is brought from be'hin devoy. One second, Sharia, you're allowed to eat it. And you say on it. Now we have to define our terms. Himalta, Rashi translates with a French word that means basically a kind of medicinal paste. They made it out in this particular case, it was something they made out of a mixture of honey and ginger. They mixed together honey and ginger and made like a paste out of it, and they used it as a medicine and as food and whatever. So this himalta, the asim behin devoy, hin devoy Rashi translates as kushiyim, which on the face of it means Ethiopia. There were other places, there's other places for, in Rashi himself and other considerations that maybe hin devoy means India. After all, the people of India, many of them are dark-skinned, much like Ethiopians, so there's a certain similarity between them.
Yes.
Well, less so, obviously, but still, yeah, some of them are fairly dark-skinned.
Also, Hindu, they speak...
The Hindavoy would be related to the word Hindu, right? And also, actually, there's a mountain range between in India and Afghanistan, whatever called, the Hindu Kush. So when Rashi says over here, Eretz Kush, Kushiyim, it might mean people who come from that area, the Hindu Kush, whatever. Anyway, yeah, that's the thing. So you actually have, you know, in connection with the Megillah, when it says Mehoidu Vav Kush, right? You have Machlokes in the Gemara Megillah. Are Hoidu and Kush at opposite ends of the known world, in which case Hoidu is India and Kush is Ethiopia, or they right next to each other, and the point is, just as easy as it is to rule over two countries next to each other, that's how easily Ahasuerus ruled over a huge empire. Anyway, the point is that Kush can be a place next to India. So whatever, anyway, Hindavoy. So no, it could be like Afghanistan or whatever. Anyway, the point is, Bay Hindavoy, again, either means, over here, means either Ethiopia or India. Whatever, they brought this Himalta from there. So again, it's this paste made out of honey and ginger mixed together. Shalia, you're allowed to eat it, meaning there's no problem of bishul akum with it because the ingredients are edible by themselves without being cooked. And there's not a problem of that.
So the
goyim in Hindavoy can be preparing this stuff, and then they bring it to Jews to sell, and you're allowed to eat it. There's no problem. Who cares? As long as they don't offer it to the Avodah Zarah, it's not an issue. There's no reason to assume they did. There's no reason to assume that's something that they're selling to you, they first offered to the Avodah Zarah. So there's no problem of Bishul Akum. There's no problem of the Ulei Akum, meaning that they may have cooked it in a not kosher pot. Because, first of all, pots of goyim usually are noisentam l'fgam. Usually they have, the pot has not been used in the last 24 hours, and therefore any taste that it absorbed is, anyway, poivim. But besides that also, any taste of tref of meat or fat or whatever that was in the pot would damage the taste of the himalta. Nobody would buy it. Therefore, they wouldn't do that. They would prepare it in special pots. So therefore, there's no problem. So therefore, it's kosher. He said, so in other words, the point is that ginger is very prihadama. So what do you mean that there's no bracha on it at all? And what do you mean that if you eat it on Yom Kippur, that if a person eats it on Yom Kippur, he's potter from kares? And the answer is same thing. Like kasha, there's a difference between fresh ginger and dried ginger. Fresh ginger is considered an actual food, and you would make very prihadama on it. As opposed to when it's dry, then it's not considered a food.
What about ginger powder? You can keep it.
You can keep it, but you don't eat ginger powder by itself. People don't eat ginger powder by itself, so therefore you wouldn't make a bracha. Maybe at most you make shakol on it, but certainly not adam. Tosfos mentions in that connection. What about, for example, cinnamon? Tosfos says people sometimes eat cinnamon dry. Therefore, you would say hadam on it.
Cinnamon sticks.
Right. Cinnamon sticks. So you make hadam on it, Tosfos says. Then Tosfos also brings up another point. What about sugar? Yeah. Sugar comes from sugar cane, which grows on the ground.
Right.
So Tosfos actually says that it would actually be ha'etz. The sugar cane, Tosfos learns, and so do a number of other Rishonim, that the sugar cane would be considered like a tree.
Hold on a second.
Tosfos over here learns, and so do a couple of other Rishonim, that it would be ha'etz. There are some other Rishonim that hold that it would be hadam. The Rambam says nothing doing. The sugar is
not one, not the other.
The Rambam says in Hilchos Brachos, sugar is, it doesn't look anything like a plant it came from originally. It's crystals that are extracted from it and refined and whatever. You say shakol on it. And that's how the halacha is brought in Shulchan Aruch, that you say shakol on sugar. We follow the Rambam in that.
What? How does the Rambam describe it? What is the word? What's the word?
The word that Rambam uses is konim hamasukim, the sweet, sticks. Yeah. Here, I'll find the Rambam over here, and I'll read it all for you.
I believe it.
Yeah. Konim hamasukim. Yeah, Rashi describes the Rambam describes right. So he says some goyim say hadama, some say hey, and Rambam says nothing doing. And in the same way, as for example, the Rambam says we're going to talk later on. Let's say about honey made from dates. That even though the dates themselves are ha'et. The honey is shakol. The same way, there's no reason to say that sugar, that some sugar cane, should be anything more than shakol. And that's the accepted halacha. We say shakol on sugar.
And shakol on honey.
Shakol on, well, bee honey for sure, but even date honey as well. We say shakol on honey. We're going to talk about later on. We're going to talk about a more general rule when you have a fruit that's changed very much. We talked about it briefly before when we're talking about flour. But when you have something that's very much changed from its original state and looks nothing like it did originally, very often it gets downgraded. Very often the bracha gets downgraded. Applesauce is one example. Pringles is another example. Regular potato chips are hadama. They're potatoes. They're just sliced very thin. But Pringles, right, there's no change in them except that they're sliced very thin. But Pringles, they mash up the potatoes and then they take a mash and dry it in the shapes or whatever. And Pringles, therefore, are shakol. They get downgraded. Flour, we said. Flour is shakol as well.
Popcorn,
no, it's not me changed from the original. It's exactly popcorn. It's the same thing. It's just the kernel turned inside out. So it's hadama. But applesauce, for example, is shakol, unless you have pieces of apple in it. And then a lot of things like that. But again, you do have a certain mashed bananas would be another. You do have a certain difference. Again, if you have a fruit that is not normally eaten in its original state, it's only eaten in some other state. For example, cooked. We talked before about carrots, for example. We're in the times of Alfred Evan. Nobody ate carrots raw. So therefore, in his times, you would say shakol on carrots. Nowadays, we eat them raw. So you say hadama on them. But actually, for example, Rabbi Marlow points out in his Guide on Brachos, chocolate, everybody says shakol on. But why should that be? Logically, chocolate comes from beans that grow on a tree. And nobody eats the beans by themselves. You make chocolate out of them. That is the normal way of eating the product of the chocolate, of the cacao tree. So you should, by right, say ha'et on it. The fact of the matter is, we don't. The fact of the matter is, the minig of the everybody's minig is to say shakol on.
It transforms.
But that's the point. In other words, it's one thing with apples. You can eat apples raw. It's normal to eat apples raw. Therefore, if they're transformed, if the applesauce, for example, they get downgraded. Potatoes, the same thing. A raw potato, you would say charcoal on. It's not normal to eat potatoes raw. Once it's cooked, it becomes hadama. Then it gets its actual proper bracha of hadama. So if it's mashed up to make Pringles, for example, then you're going to say charcoal on the product because it doesn't resemble the original anymore. But again, because potatoes are normally eaten cooked and whole.
Mashed potatoes.
But again, mashed potatoes, it depends really on the consistency of them. It depends whether they still have something of the consistency of potatoes or not, whether you would make hadama or shakol on them. But at least with potatoes, fine. It's normal to eat them cooked.
Right.
It's normal to eat them whole. It's normal to eat them whole, baked or cooked or what have you. As opposed to, again, cacao beans, nobody eats them by themselves. You always eat them in the form of chocolate. On the face of it,
they do eat them by themselves.
Maybe. So maybe that's part of the reason why we say shakol on them.
They do eat them directly from the tree.
So if you eat them directly from the tree, well, that's the question. Given that that's not the normal way of eating them, maybe avadaba, maybe if you eat them from the tree, it would be shakol. And if you eat chocolate, a bar of chocolate, maybe you should be saying, hey. The fact of the matter is we don't do that. No. Again, if you have something which is not normally eaten in its original state, it's only normally eaten in an altered state, then you make a lower level bracha on the original state, and you make the higher level bracha on the altered state.
Okay.
Again, think of the example of carrots in the times of Alfred Evans. Nobody ate carrots raw.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, in the Alfred Evans time, if you ate a raw carrot, you would say shakol on it. Only if you ate a cooked carrot would you say hadama on it, because it wasn't normal to eat it raw.
So say hadama on chocolate?
So that's the question. No, so on the face of it, remember all the right, you would think, logically, based on these rules, chocolate ought to be ha'et, because that is the normal way of eating the cacao bean. The fact of the matter is, we don't. The fact of the matter is, the accepted halakha is everybody says shakol on it. Why, he says, I don't know why.
Maybe
because the world figures it doesn't really look anything like what it came from. I don't know, it's a good question. But then
we had ingredients, by the way. We don't.
Well, that's neither here nor there. There's Iker and Toffel. We talked before, but
the taste of the chocolate we eat is not a taste of the real chocolate.
Okay, they add sugar to it, that's why. But that's the chocolate is still the issue. You're not eating the chocolate for the sake of the sugar. You're putting in chocolate so the chocolate doesn't taste so bitter yet. Okay, fine. we'll continue to, we'll stop here and we'll continue tomorrow.